Good morning. Today I'm going to give an update on pertussis trends in the U.S. between 1990 and 2008, and I'm also going to take an early look at the potential impact of a newly licensed pertussis booster vaccine, Tdap, on national disease trends. Pertussis is an acute respiratory infection that is classically characterized by paroxysmal cough, post-tussive vomiting, and inspiratory whoop. However, the clinical presentation of pertussis may vary depending on vaccination status or history of previous exposure, and mild disease may occur in certain age groups. Despite the availability of vaccines, pertussis remains endemic in the U.S. with peaks occurring every 3 to 5 years. Although infants have the highest morbidity and mortality rates from pertussis, an increasing number of cases are being reported among adolescents and adults. Adolescents and adults are thought to serve as reservoirs for infection, spreading disease to unvaccinated or undervaccinated children. Although childhood pertussis vaccines have been licensed for use in the U.S. since the 1940s, it wasn't until the spring of 2005 when two tetanus toxoid, reduced diphtheria toxoid, and acellular pertussis vaccines, known as Tdap, were licensed for use among adolescents and adults in the U.S. Later in 2005, recommendations were made for the use of this new booster vaccine. The ACIP currently recommends the routine use of Tdap among adolescents 11 to 18 years of age as a replacement to the TD booster. For adults 19 to 64 years, a single dose of Tdap is recommended to replace a single dose of TD. Although Tdap coverage rates still fall short of those achieved for pertussis childhood vaccines, coverage is increasing, especially among adolescents. Tdap coverage estimates obtained from the National Immunization Teen Survey estimated an increase in Tdap coverage among adolescents 13 to 17 years of age from 10.8% in 2006 to over 30% in 2007. For today's presentation, I will first describe trends in reported pertussis in the U.S. between 1990 and 2008. Then I will also spend some time taking an early look at the potential of impact of Tdap vaccination on pertussis trends. For this analysis, we use pertussis cases reported to CDC through the Nationally Notifiable Diseases Surveillance System between 1990 and 2008. It's important to point out here that I will present preliminary data for 2008, but it is still considered preliminary, and numbers will probably be changing. Incidence rates were calculated using pertussis cases reported through NNDSS as numerators and post-censal population estimates from the National Center for Health Statistics as denominators. Pertussis cases were classified according to the CSTE case definition. The clinical case definition for pertussis, as defined by CSTE, requires cough of greater than 2 weeks duration with paroxysms, inspiratory whoop, or post-tussive vomiting. Probable cases were defined as those individuals meeting the clinical case definition for pertussis. Confirmed cases were defined as individuals who had isolation of Bordetella pertussis from culture and a cough illness of any duration. Cases were also classified as confirmed if they met the clinical case definition for pertussis and were either positive by PCR or were epi-linked to a laboratory-confirmed case. Between 1990 and 2008, more than 180,000 pertussis cases were reported to CDC. This graph shows the breakdown of reported cases by year and age group. Over time, cases less than 1 year of age, shown in blue, and cases 1 to 9 years of age, shown in pink, are contributing less to the overall burden of disease, while cases 10 to 19 years, shown in orange, and cases 20 years and older, shown in pink, are contributing an increasing proportion of cases. However, what's interesting to note here that is around 2007, appears to be a shift in the distribution with an increasing contribution from the 1 to 9 year old. And although data is still preliminary, by 2008, this age group actually accounts for over 31% of cases, making it the largest contributor. So this next graph shows the overall incidence of reported pertussis in the U.S. between 1990 and 2008. And as shown here, overall, rates of pertussis increased gradually between 1990 and 2003 before reaching a peak of 8.1 cases per 100,000 population in 2004. The introduction of Tdap in 2005 occurred at the height of this peak, when rates of the disease in the U.S. were significantly elevated. Beginning in 2005, however, the incidence of pertussis declined more than 61%, reaching a rate of 3.3 per 100,000 cases in 2008. And I'll just note that on the national level, decreases in incidence were observed among 43 out of 50 reporting states during the same time period. So next, we took a look at the incidence of reported pertussis by age group. And as shown here by the blue line, rates of pertussis were considerably higher among infants less than 1 year of age compared to the other age groups during the study period. Between 1990 and 2008, the incidence of pertussis among infants ranged from 26 cases per 100,000 in 1991 to 104 cases per 100,000 in 2005. Now shown here, increased rates of disease were observed among all age groups during the 2004 and 2005 peak. The inset in the upper left-hand corner allows us to take a closer look at trends among older age groups. Although the incidence of pertussis increased gradually among cases 20 years and older prior to the peak, as shown in pink, incidence remained low throughout the study period. Rates of disease among children 1 to 9 years of age, shown in green, were higher than among adolescents 10 to 19 years, in orange, until 1997, when this trend reversed. And by 2004, the rate among 10 to 19-year-olds was 1.7 times higher than among 1 to 9-year-olds, which shows us that much of the increase during this time period was in the group that was recommended to receive Tdap vaccination. But what's interesting to note is that by 2007, rates of disease in these two age groups once again appear to be equal, and again, although it's still preliminary, 2008 data actually suggests this trend may once again be reversing. So it'll be important to continue to watch national surveillance data to see if this trend continues. So now that I've spent some time describing recent trends in reported pertussis, we're next going to take an early look at the potential impact of Tdap. We'll first take a look at the direct effects of Tdap by looking at protection among vaccinated individuals. And for this presentation, we evaluated the impact of vaccination among 11 to 18-year-olds, since this is the age group routinely recommended to receive Tdap. Although Tdap is also recommended for routine use in adults, we are focusing on adolescents because we know that Tdap coverage in this age group is higher than it currently is among adults. We will also spend some time evaluating the indirect effects of Tdap. Because it's been demonstrated that older age groups transmit pertussis to infants who are too young to be completely vaccinated, creating herd immunity among adolescents and adults through Tdap vaccination may have the added benefit of reducing disease among infants. So for this presentation, we will look at the indirect effects of Tdap by evaluating disease rates in infants less than 1 year of age. So we'll begin by looking at the direct impact of vaccination. And on this slide, I just want to walk you through the methods we use to evaluate the direct impact of Tdap. To better understand changes in disease trends among our target vaccine age group compared to all other ages, we calculated rate ratios using the incidence of pertussis among cases 11 to 18 years of age divided by the incidence in all other age groups combined. And by using rate ratios, this allowed us to evaluate how trends change in one group relative to all other ages. We then modeled rate ratios using segmented regression analysis, and this allowed us to evaluate the impact of Tdap vaccination over time while accounting for temporal variability. So for our model, we defined 1990 to 2004 as the pre-Tdap period, and 2005 to 2008 as the post-Tdap period. So this first graph shows the incidence of reported pertussis among adolescents 11 to 18 years of age in yellow, the group routinely recommended to receive Tdap, compared to the incidence of disease in all other age groups combined, as shown in pink. Here we can clearly see that rates of disease among 11 to 18-year-olds were steadily climbing prior to the sharp peak in incidence in 2004. If rates of disease in adolescents were increasing in a linear fashion prior to the peak, we might expect incidence in this group to continue its increase following the peak, as shown here by the dotted yellow line. Instead, our early look at the data suggests a continuing decline in rates of pertussis among 11 to 18-year-olds following this 2004-2005 peak. So to better understand changes in disease trends among the target age group compared to all other ages, we next modeled ratios of disease rates among adolescents 11 to 18 years of age over rates of disease in all other age groups combined. Because the overall incidence of pertussis increased prior to the 2004-2005 peak, as we saw in our earlier slide, we would expect proportional increases among all age groups during this time period. By modeling rate ratios, we are able to evaluate how trends change in one group relative to all others. So this graph shows rate ratios of pertussis incidence pre-Tdap between 1990 and 2004. As shown here, slope coefficients from the model revealed a significant steady increase in rate ratios during the pre-Tdap period, which tells us that rates of disease among adolescents 11 to 18 years were increasing at a faster rate than rates of disease in all other age groups combined. And what's interesting is that in 2005, we actually see a reversal in the direction of the slope to a significant decreasing trend in rate ratios, which continues up through 2008. And as indicated by the slope of the line, disease among 11 to 18-year-olds declined at a faster rate than disease among other age groups during the pre-Tdap period. So this sharp change from a significant increasing trend in the pre-Tdap period to a significant decreasing trend in the post-Tdap period may be suggestive of an early impact of Tdap vaccination among 11 to 18-year-olds. But what about the large increase in incidence that we saw during the 2004-2005 peak? We know that a lot of the increase during this time was among adolescents, and it's therefore possible that the sharp peak is influencing our results. So to examine this possibility, we attempted to reduce the peak by excluding states that reported an annual incidence rate of more than 20 cases per 100,000 in either 2004 or 2005. So this graph again shows trends in disease among our target age group compared to all other ages, but this time after removing a total of 11 states that reported a minimum incidence rate of 20 cases per 100,000 in 2004 or 2005. And as you can see here, excluding the 11 high incidence states allowed us to reduce overall incidence rates among adolescents by a rate of more than 10 cases per 100,000. So we again modeled rate ratios, this time after excluding the 11 high incidence states, to see whether or not this reduction in incidence had an impact on changes over time. And what we found is that the results were similar. Slope coefficients again showed a significant steady increase in rate ratios during the pre-Tdap period, which was followed by a significant change to a decreasing trend following the introduction of Tdap. And although the decline in the post-Tdap period is now less than what was observed prior to removing the high incidence states, a switch from a significant increasing trend to a significant decreasing trend was still observed, offering further support of an early impact of Tdap vaccination among 11 to 18-year-olds. So now that we have spent some time evaluating the direct effects of Tdap vaccination, we will next examine the potential indirect effects by looking at rates of disease in infants. So this graph shows the incidence of reported pertussis among infants less than 1 year of age. And as I showed before, rates of pertussis fluctuated between 1990 and 2003 in infants before reaching a peak of 104 cases per 100,000 population in 2005. And since 2005, rates of disease among infants have declined more than 60%. So to look at the potential indirect effects of Tdap, we compared the average rate of disease among infants less than 1 year of age, both before and after the spike in incidence in 2004-2005. Between 1990 and 2003, the average incidence of pertussis among infants was 52 cases per 100,000. Post-peak, the average incidence of disease dropped to 45 cases per 100,000. Although there was a decline in the average rate of disease in the post-Tdap period, when we compared the two averages, we found that they were not statistically significant. So in summary, our analysis of national pertussis surveillance data revealed significant changes in trends among adolescents 11 to 18 years of age following the introduction of Tdap, which may be suggestive of an early direct impact of the vaccine among the target age group. Although significant changes were not observed among infants, it's important to remember that vaccine uptake is slow among adolescents and adults, and it is likely still too early to see the indirect benefits of vaccination. But can we attribute the decline among adolescents only to the introduction of a new vaccine? Although it's likely that we are seeing some of the early benefits of Tdap, it's important to point out that rates of disease among adolescents actually started to decline in the year prior to Tdap introduction. Therefore, it's likely that other factors are contributing. One possibility is an increase in population immunity as a result of circulating disease. It's possible that a significant amount of natural boosting occurred among the adolescent population during the 2004-2005 peak, where there was a lot of circulating disease among the adolescent age group. Another consideration is changes in testing and reporting patterns. Heightened recognition of pertussis during the outbreaks of 2004-2005, especially among these older age groups, may have resulted in increased levels of testing and reporting, and it's possible that these increased levels were not sustained in subsequent years. And lastly, it's possible that the changes we are observing among adolescents are just part of the natural cyclical pattern of disease that is typical of pertussis. So in conclusion, our early review of national surveillance data is promising, with some suggestion of early benefits from Tdap vaccination among the target age group. However, continued monitoring of national pertussis trends will be important to further evaluate the impact of Tdap. Thank you.